Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, March 18th, 2016. It's just before 2:30 UTC. I'm Sam Minter, and I've got Yvonne Bo with us. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So before we talk about anything else, the agenda for today, we'll talk about a few little things, including feedback and some other things for the first segment, like we usually do. Then we'll do a quick little segment. It's not quite a lightning round, but we have three smaller topics. What's going on in Brazil, some events in Syria, what SeaWorld is doing. And then we'll have two somewhat larger topics. We'll talk about the Supreme Court stuff with Obama nominating someone this week. And then, of course, we'll wrap it up with Election 2016 and all the latest developments there. And that's basically the plan. But before, I had a couple little things for this starting segment, but just as we were recording, I realized when I said that we're recording just before 2:30 UTC, that of course we usually record just before 3:30 UTC, and the reason why is daylight savings time.
Which sucks!
So we have to have our twice a year rant about the time change.
Oh my God, we have been like... I mean, I this week has been miserable because of this stupid a frickin' time change. I have been like, I mean, my first Sunday I woke up at with the clock read 10 a.m.
Yeah, I take it you hadn't changed it the night before, or you did?
My clock changes automatically.
Okay, as most do these days.
Yeah, the like modern ones. Mine changed automatically. But I'm like, Jesus. I mean, I haven't woken up at an hour in like forever. Then the thing is that, you know, during the winter, when I would just wake up at 7 without even our alarm clock. Mm. Now I am like just... so miserable to just get out of bed. My son is just refusing to wake up.
Who's four now? Three?
Three and a half.
Three and a half. Okay.
He is just refusing to wake up to go to school.
Yeah?
I mean, and I went to school and everybody is miserable. This time change sucks. This thing needs to stop.
We are
not farmers anymore.
And it never really made sense for the damn farmers either. I mean, you can change what time you wake up if you need to.
No, I think back then, you know, when there wasn't enough light. I mean, you know, when
the whole thing is like
electricity and light.
No, but the thing is, if you want to base your schedule on when sunrise is, base your schedule on when sunrise is.
No, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes, you know, it was. I don't know, man. This thing sucks.
Like, it's easier to say. You know, during the summer, I do this at 8 o'clock. During the winter, I do this at 7 o'clock. If you are in an industry that you have to do that, but you don't have to change the damn clock. You can change when you do something, if you need to.
Yeah.
If you don't need to, leave us alone.
Yeah, I'm with you. This thing sucks.
It's always a mess. It's... Yeah, you know,
Are you guys struggling with it as well?
You know, honestly, you know, no, not as much. I mean, our schedules are chaotic as it was. Now, I have noticed it has been harder to get my son up in the mornings this last week.
Yeah, thank.
But, you know, it's not, you know, it's always a little hard to get him up. And also, you know, we're not good about bedtime.
So
he's been up late too, but I guess the fact that he's up late is partially because of the same damn thing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so yeah.
Well, my son would wake up every morning. I didn't have to drag him out. Now I'm having to freaking drag him out.
Yeah. I always have to drag him out when I'm taking him anyway. Whoever wakes him up in the mornings has to wake him up. You know, he will get up on his own after he's slept long enough, but that's like a couple hours after he's supposed to be at school.
No. Mine was like, usually I'll be having my coffee and all of a sudden, you know, he pops up like around 7:30. I'm like, hey, you know, where at? I'm like, yep, here, milk. Usually I have his milk ready right by my coffee. He'll sit down with me, have his milk. We'll have the coffee and then we'll go to school. Right now, I'm having to go in, get up. He's like, get up. Like, Like this morning, look, I woke him up, and then I sat him by me on the couch, gave him his milk, right afterwards, just passed out of sleep again.
Yep.
Just passed out of sleep. It was like, forget it. He was just done.
Oh yes, there are proposals that get floated, about twice a year. That why don't we stop this shit? But they never go anywhere.
I don't understand why don't we just stop this shit. What's the? I mean, who the hell likes this?
Nobody.
Nobody. This thing needs to be over.
Yeah. It does. It just needs to, go away. Go away. And I don't even mind the whole world does not have to adopt my strategy of always doing UTC for everything, but just stop the damn changing
the fucking clocks.
Yeah, let it be what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing,
you know, in Puerto Rico we didn't do it. Okay.
Well, there are a number of places that don't do
it. I must admit, it was a lot better.
The bottom line is, first of all, if you're talking on a countrywide basis, most places that are equatorial or tropical don't do it because it makes less sense, I guess. Well, it makes no sense anywhere, but whatever. Most places that are equatorial or tropical don't do it. The places that have more dramatic seasons tend to do it not all of them either. I mean, you lived in Indiana for a while. Like half the state doesn't do it, right? Like, they split the state down the middle or something? Or there are a couple states that are split.
Oh, man. Right. Well.
Oh, and which brings us to our next topic, because you can probably hear Alex here. And what is it, Alex?
Emergency.
An emergency?
Yeah.
What is it? It's not really an emergency.
Come downstairs.
Well, tell me what the emergency is.
The emergency is there's a fire.
There's not a fire.
Yeah. There is a fire. For real.
For real?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay. I run away from this house.
It's
on fire.
Okay. Just a quick pause. I will be back in a second. Unless there's a real fire.
Make sure the place is on fire.
I will make sure there's not a real fire because, last week I didn't believe he was sick.
Right.
He was sick.
Don't check to make sure there's no fire. We'll be right back.
Back after this. Or this isn't a real maybe break. Not. Back after whatever. I'll be right back.
Bring me the yellow muffin.
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 Hello.
Hey, hello. Fire?
No fire.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So what the fire was?
Yeah.
He spilled his nacho cheese Doritos.
Okay. Well.
And so then.
Red. I guess.
That's what he said. They look like fire.
They look like fire. Yeah. Okay.
And all right. So then, of course, he wanted me to get him a new snack.
Ah.
Because he spilled his chips, which, by the way, looks completely intentional. So then I was like, okay, fine, I'll get you some more chips.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted me to make him a sandwich.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, not right now. You have to wait for... Yeah, I'm not going to make anything that takes me, minutes to prepare. So we got into a big fight about that.
Ah.
And then, because he wanted me to get some cheese and cut the cheese and get it ready and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I have to go back upstairs. And he was upset.
Of course, your son can eat cheese. My son can't eat cheese.
The cheese is so hard, and they push so hard, and I broke my hand.
You broke your hand?
Yeah.
Can I see your hand? I think your hand's okay. Okay. Anyway.
I broke my hand.
Put some ice on it.
Ice doesn't help broken bones.
True, true. But it'll help if it's just hurt a little bit. I think your hand's okay.
No.
Anyway. So this is what's been going on.
So why are you at home with him? What way? How did you wind up in this?
So basically, first of all, my daughter is out with friends.
As okay.
Often happens.
Yeah.
And my wife this afternoon is like, you know, a friend of mine from work wants to go out to dinner, right? And I'm like, okay, I have the podcast tonight, but. You know, I'll try my best to make something work, right? Because, I mean, she doesn't go out to dinner
right,
with her friends very often.
Right. And I don't know, she needs to do that.
So I'm like,
No, I completely understand that. Yeah,
I'm not going to be like, no, blow off your friend. I mean, I did say, you know, if you could do it Friday, it would be better. But if you have to do it tonight, I'll do my best.
All right. There you go.
And that's basically it. So, because usually when I'm doing these. Either my wife or my daughter or somebody are busy distracting and playing with Alex during the podcast, which makes it easier.
Because otherwise we'll get this.
Yeah, because, you know, he's getting...
The family is not here. You're the only one here.
I know.
How can the family play with me?
Well, I'm saying usually they do when they are home.
Oh.
So, anyway... I'll tell you what, Alex, at the next break, I'll make you your sandwich.
Yay!
Because we had this big fight over whether or not I would make the sandwich because he wanted butter and cheese and bread and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'll give you something out of a bag right now. We can make you something later, you know? But no. Anyway, so to finish up here, we did have a couple other things. So that's basically why I'm... by myself is just, you know, everybody abandoned me and I'm all by myself. And I was good, you know, like, you want to go to dinner, you know, do the thing. So anyway, we did have like a little bit of feedback from not like the mega crazy feedback from the week before, but we did have one piece of feedback from last week's show. So Edward, who's commented for a few weeks now, it said, a minor disagreement to thrown away votes for third parties. I have on several occasions voted for a candidate other than one of the two preferred by the parties.
I have as well. I've done it.
Yeah. So I've probably voted Libertarian as often as anything else. You know, I voted for Ross Perot. I voted for Libertarian several election years.
I think you and I both voted for Ross Perot. We were just like pissed off. I mean, and the reality is that in that election, the choice between Bush and Clinton didn't make that much of a difference in terms of. You know, yeah.
I mean, we've said this on the show before, if it was really a Bush Clinton choice, I think both of us would have gone for George H.W. Bush, but over Bill Clinton at the time. But so anyway, we've both done the third party thing. I don't think I've ever voted for a Republican for president. I would have voted for George H.W. Bush if I hadn't voted for Ross Perot. But I have voted for Republicans for lower offices on occasion.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says, of course, none of them won. However, the chance of our ever having a real alternative will never occur unless we vote for somebody other than the two. When the choice is between Joe College frat boy Bush and a third term of Billy C. Gore, Mr. Nader had appeal to me. He had actually done something that had impact on the lives of Americans, whereas the other two were simply around.
Okay.
So, look. We both understand the appeal of sometimes going for the third party. And you know, as I believe I said at one point on a couple shows ago on an inserted note, you know, I'm in Washington State. It's very likely going to be a solid blue state. So I'm actually pretty free to, like, do whatever the hell I want if I want to make a statement by voting for a third party and having it probably not make a difference. Yvonne here, on the other hand, is in Florida. That will probably be close.
Oh, there's no fucking way I'm voting for anybody other than who I'm going to vote for. Well, I've already said who it is,
right? You've already said you're going to vote for Hillary.
Yes, I've made it very clear.
Assuming she's the nominee.
I think that's a safe bet, even though some people have some mathematical issues with figuring that out today, as I realize. But yes, you know.
We understand the appeal of the third parties. And you're right that for a third party to ever sort of break through, people at some point have to start voting for them. But America's system is, you know, with first past the post voting, is structurally not set up to make third parties viable. I mean, you can have extraordinary situations where they break through temporarily or even become the new main party, as with the Republicans taking over for the Whigs. This is something that's been shown, in political science comparisons of different countries and things like that. The basic structure of having single occupant districts. So you have districts that elect one person, and the person who gets the most votes wins that. Period. End of story. Tends to encourage two-party systems, whereas essentially parliamentary systems, where you have some sort of proportional representation, so that, you know, if within your state you get 20%, you get 20% of the representation in that state. Those tend to encourage many parties and multi-party systems. Now there are exceptions.
But you keep talking like we don't have the parties. We do have those parties.
It's a self-reinforcing loop, because yes, we have third parties, but unless they actually win, they have no influence. And unless they can win, people don't want to vote for them, because this constant feeling of there's no way I'm going to vote for the third party because they have no fucking chance, and it'll just be a spoiler between the main two. And so it's a self-reinforcing cycle, and that, not to mention all the ballot access rules and things like that, that disadvantage third parties.
Talk about that. I'm sorry, but every ballot that I've ever been to has always had a number of third-party candidates outside of the main ones.
It is definitely possible, and some states are better than others. But if you look at the third parties and how many states they're on the ballot on,
it's definitely more difficult because it ain't one national ballot. You have to, you have to go to every state. And then you have to get on the ballot on each state, and that does make it difficult.
So for instance, I just looked up 2012 as reference. Only the Republican and Democratic parties were actually on the ballot in all 50 states and D.C. Next up were the Libertarians, who were on this ballot in 48 states and D.C. Then the Green Party, that was 36 states and D.C. And then it goes down from there. They're, I guess, Constitution, Justice, and Socialism and Liberation Party was down at like 13.
I think unless the parties have national appeal, it makes it quite difficult to really be competitive. It's just that simple.
Yeah. So like in terms of number of people seeing it, 95% of people actually had Libertarians on their ballot in that election.
Yeah.
83% had the Green Party. But then next down is the Constitution Party. Only 50% of people even saw them on the ballot.
Right. Right.
You know, so look, whether or not.
But it goes back to how the nation was founded.
It's very hard for the third parties to break through. It takes extraordinary circumstances for a third party to actually get anywhere.
I do think sometimes the part of the reason is because of how the third parties like operate to a certain extent. I think that a lot of them try to focus so much on the presidency first, and I think that if you were to make a third party actually work,
you would start at the bottom.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. you want to pick up some mayoral races, and then you want to try to get to the statewide races, and then maybe you try to win a governorship. And once you do that, then you've had that footprint, and then that's the way that you would start to create it into a movement. The problem is that all of these guys, they try to just run somebody for president. And because, like we just said, because it's so
well, difficult. And there are exceptions. For instance, there's the socialist who's on the city council in Seattle here.
Yeah.
You know, so
there are, but they're
rare too.
Exactly, they are rare. Yeah,
and I think you're right that anyway, the bottom line is, we understand the appeal of third parties. If the system really was a one that where voting for, you know, it actually, like, if 20% of the people liked the libertarians, then 20% of the power would go to the libertarians. If we actually had a system like that, then we would have viable third and fourth parties. It would just happen almost automatically. But in a kind of system where it really is winner takes all, and by district and by large districts and by the whole damn country, I mean, the Electoral College is even funkier in terms of that. We did have third party candidates win electoral votes as recently as the 60s, I believe. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's
Perot didn't win any electoral votes, even though he got a huge chunk of the popular vote.
Yeah.
So
anyway, third parties are fun, and third parties are good protest votes, and I'm very generally a strong advocate of the idea of vote for the guy you agree with most. Don't worry about the sort of strategic voting calculations of, like, oh, I would steal votes away from that person. Just vote for the one you actually agree with the most. But at the same time, I really understand the people who have a huge aversion to that, because either they remember Nader in Florida putting the state over the edge for Bush, or they remember Perot arguably giving the election to Clinton.
And
we talked last week. Yeah, those are, it's arguable in both cases. There are other causes and other things going on, but people remember those things anyway and are like, oh man, you know, I regret that third party vote.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I thought there was no big damn difference between Gore and Bush, but look at the 8 years of the Bush presidency. I bet Gore would have done better. You know? And who knows if he would have or not. But a lot of Nader voters, and I'm not talking about people who liked Bush, I'm talking about, like, Nader voters, a lot of them after the fact, you know, they justified their vote because there's not a damn bit of difference between Bush and Gore. But after seeing Bush in office for 8 years, are like, oh, man, damn it, there was a difference.
Yes.
Okay,
let's see. I'll give you a couple of differences. Number one, let me see. There wouldn't have been a tax cuts that would have sent us at a deficit. Number one. Number two, okay, we wouldn't have gone to war in Iraq. How about giving those two big ones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, economically, if the U.S. hadn't done those two things, our national debt would probably be, I estimate, about at least $7 trillion less. We're talking $7 trillion, okay? I mean, I would hazard to say that our economy would be growing quite a lot better right now if it wasn't for that idiocy.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, the thing is, it's really hard to ever do counterfactuals, but, you know,
but those are reasonable. These are just two idiotic things that I'm 100% sure Gore wouldn't have done. It's plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, just real quick, for third parties this time around, for major third parties, they still have their nominating procedures and going on right now. For instance, the Green Party, it looks like there are three major candidates. There's Jill Stein, who's been the candidate before. I believe, didn't you interview her once?
Jill Stein?
She was a vice presidential.
Yeah, I did.
She was a vice presidential candidate, like, when we were back in college.
Yes, we were back in college, yes.
And so I think Yvonne interviewed Jill Stein. Or we interviewed her together or something.
Something like that.
Something. Yes. It was not very memorable. No. Anyway, Jill Stein, but also William Kremmel and Sedanam Curry are also running for the Green Party nomination.
Is that a meal? Oh, no. Okay, that's a guy. Okay, never mind. Sedanam Curry. Okay, I thought it was some kind of food. Okay. No.
I guess. I don't know. And then the Libertarians. Oh, this is great. So we have Gary Johnson, which we've talked about before.
Yes.
He ran last time, and I believe I actually voted for him in 2012.
I believe you did.
I did, because I couldn't bring myself to do Obama again, which I'd done in 2008, for a variety of reasons, and whatever. We won't talk about it now. But also, John McAfee.
What?
Is running for the Libertarian nomination.
Well, there you go.
He's the, of course, of McAfee Antivirus, who's kind of gone insane since then.
Yes, pretty much.
He was wanted for murder in Belize or something for a while, or Guatemala or something. I forget exactly.
It was Belize.
I was right the first time. He's a little eccentric, let's say.
Yes, he is.
And then we also have someone named Austin Peterson, also running for the Libertarians.
There you go.
And
that's an eclectic mix.
Yeah. So, and there are others. We've got the Reform Party is still around in some form.
It is?
Okay. We've got the American Freedom Party, America's Party, the Constitution Party, the Independent America Party, the Nutrition Party, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. The Peace and Freedom Party, the Prohibition Party is still around, the Socialist Party USA, the Veterans Party of America, and Workers' World Party.
The Socialist Party. I interviewed the presidential candidate for them, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, none of those people are going to win.
You think?
I don't think.
No.
Okay. We're about to take a break. Before I do, another plug for my son's YouTube channel. They're now, I'm in the process in the other window right now of pushing the 25th video to his YouTube channel, and there's another, like, whole bunch of them waiting to go out after that. I actually got a domain for it so that it's easier to point to than explaining how to search for it. It's alexmxela.com. Go watch his damn videos, because he's making a bunch of videos all the time, and he's really excited about it, and it's better when people watch.
Okay.
Okay? Watch his damn videos, comment on them, things like that. Okay, we're going to take a break, and I will go make that damn sandwich I promised. Although, he's not here, so maybe he forgot. But I don't think so. So I'm going to go make the sandwich.
No, go make the sandwich.
And then we will talk about Brazil, Syria, and SeaWorld. But not all together. We're not talking about SeaWorld Damascus or anything. Okay, back after this.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganairRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganairRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, I'm here again.
I just love, so they're showing some new Democratic attacks on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one is hilarious. They had this interview with Trump where he showed. So, where are you going to talk to? Like, are you consulting with consistently?
Oh, he's going to talk to himself.
Yeah, he's going to talk to himself.
So, I am back for making a sandwich for my son, which I guess is better than handing him a loaf of bread, a 1 pound block of cheese, a knife, and saying, "Make your own damn sandwich."
I would say that was a prudent move.
Yeah, because, yeah, that was my first approach, and it didn't work that well.
Yeah.
So, he said, "I am not trained on cutting cheese."
Yeah,
those were his exact words.
I'm with him on that.
He, in fact, did a pretty good job at cutting the cheese, but...
I just, you know, just better to have some supervision.
Yeah. Anyway, so I made him his cheese sandwich. I had to try several times at slicing the cheese before I got a slice that he approved of.
Okay.
And the rest are now in front of me to munch on.
Okay, good.
Anyway, so the next...
I can't share the cheese, but anyway.
I'll throw it at the computer screen. Will that help?
Probably not.
Because if I throw hard enough, won't it get to you through the Skype?
Unfortunately, no.
No?
Of course, I was trying to explain to my wife how the Star Trek replicators work today. She was like, what?
Okay, then.
Yeah.
So you had Brazil, Syria, and SeaWorld, and I said before the show started that all three of these are topics that I'd sort of seen the headlines about, but I hadn't taken the time to dive into.
Okay, all right, just to cover some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you who are not seeing what the heck is going on in Brazil, okay, in Brazil, months and months ago.
I should say, and I'll stop chewing in a second, but
yes.
I should say, a couple jobs ago, you spent a significant amount of time in Brazil as part of your job.
I spent quite a lot of time in Brazil, yes. And I still have a lot of friends in Brazil, which is why I still know a lot about what's going on, really. I mean, on Facebook, on the stream, I've got all of these streams of, like, news from Brazil. I've actually endorsed a couple of things. So I keep getting a lot of, like, information of what's going on, like, in the ground and from my friends.
Mm-hmm.
There was an investigation that started because when oil prices started crashing, the largest company in Brazil was Petrobras, the oil giant from Brazil. It was a publicly traded company, and there's been a lot of construction projects going on in Brazil related to the World Cup and to the Olympics, which Brazil signed on for both, and it's cost a huge sums of money. The last couple of years, prices of commodities have crashed, including oil, has impacted the economy in Brazil substantially. And all of a sudden, people started like discovering that there was a lot of apparently bribes that were being paid through the Brazilian oil company. And we're talking...
Da, da, da.
But we're not talking like little bribes. We're talking that they discovered that the bribe scheme, it was in the tens of billions of dollars.
Nice.
But it's got to be one of the largest bribery schemes in history, okay, ever unraveled. And so a number of prosecutors have been investigating very deeply, you know, who and everything has been involved. I mean, one of the people that just recently got thrown in jail, okay, which in Brazil not common to happen, was the president of one of the world's largest construction companies that was based out of Brazil. And, you know, the guy's last name, Odebrecht. And look, if you go around the U.S., there are projects that are run by that company because it's a global giant. And that guy just got tossed into jail. Now, the current president of Brazil used to be, Because even though the oil company is publicly traded, it's a significant part is by the government. The current president of Brazil, I believe, was the chairman of the board, if I remember correctly, or chairman. You know, she wasn't the direct executive, but she was on the board, and she basically oversaw the company from the government. Then she became president of Brazil. Well, look. This investigation has like gone through like almost every politician. There's tons of politicians that have been found to have gotten payoffs. Well, it's gotten all the way up to the ex-president of Brazil. And what happened recently is that they apparently discovered that he got substantial payments, and he was recently brought into jail for questioning and just got recently directly accused. Now, got accused. And I don't know why he didn't think of this. His phones had been tapped. Okay, right?
Uh-huh.
He didn't, and apparently he was acting like an idiot and not acting like, you know, he knew that his phones were tapped. Well, right when he started getting his stuff, all of a sudden they recorded all these calls where he was calling upon people that he knew in government. You got to intimidate these prosecutors. What the hell do they think? They can't just be pushing me around. And then there was included a conversation with the president of the country. The president called her because apparently the whole they got this scheme together where they were going to name him to a position in her cabin.
Right.
Right.
Which would make him immune or something.
Exactly. Correct. And so she did. And all of a sudden, what the prosecutor did in this case was they had all the wiretaps showing that they schemed into this and basically released them. Okay. All right. And oh my God, when those came out, the protests had been big already, but right now they are just unrelenting on the streets, like right now. Mm-hmm. So that's the situation where it's at, like right now. There was an injunction that was placed against the swearing in of him to the ex-president into this cabinet position. I was reading, and they're saying that for the most part, those injunctions usually get overturned. It's kind of hard to stop that appointment.
Uh-huh.
But
so wait, the president is going forward with this?
Oh, they already swore the guy in.
Nice, nice.
Oh yeah, they did it like snap. Okay, all right.
Doesn't that just immediately imply the current president is in on it too?
I everybody is saying that she is in on it. I don't know if they found a smoking gun yet, but a lot real people saying, and so
because if she wasn't, why the hell would she do this to protect
him? I 100% agree. I mean, I 100% agree with you. Yes, she had to be in on it. She had to be. There's just no other explanation.
Nice.
So anyway, that's where it's at right now. There have been a drumbeat of impeachment of the president of Brazil going on. Now this drumbeat has gotten like just so loud. Like right now, it's just deafening.
Weren't both of these presidents, the current one and the former one, otherwise fairly respected as their terms were going on?
They were. I remember that most people that had a brain hated them. It was Brazil, most especially in the capitals, and they were very. I think. Look, they helped the poor a lot. Okay. And the way that they did was a good way. Okay, I have to admire the programs that they did for that. But however, as everything, it's like, there was a lot of corruption surrounding them as well at the same time. And not that right wing politicians or center are immune from it as well.
Because these were both leftists, right?
Yes, extreme leftists. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, they were jailed for part of their younger for some of the activities especially against the military dictatorships and stuff that were in Brazil in prior times. So, they were heroes of those movements, but, it's one of those things. The worst thing is that there was a quote from the guy who was the ex-president of Brazil from 35 years ago. The president of Brazil we're talking right now is Dilma Rousseff, okay? And... the ex-president that we're talking about is Luis Lula. This is his nickname. Luis Ignacio, whatever the hell it is. But his nickname,
They call him Lula.
They call him Lula, okay? There was a quote that they had from him from years ago where he had said that, he said that rich people don't go to jail in Brazil. They become ministers.
Okay.
And... it was just everybody. How ironic is it that the moment that he gets accused, they name him a fucking minister?
There you go. So before we move on to Brazil, from Brazil to Syria, I just want to say, consider this a preview of the Trump administration.
Yes, this would be, there you go.
Okay.
Something like this. Yes.
Moving on. And Syria, the Russians are leaving.
The Russians decided to leave. Now, I will say, and I think a number of people are agreeing, look, Putin couldn't afford this to keep fucking this stupid...
No, wait. He said he's leaving because they've accomplished everything they wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, whatever. This cost him a gazillion dollars that he doesn't have. Come on.
Uh-huh.
This was a show. He got the show he wanted for public for home consumption. And now with his money running short, he's like, well, I got to take him home.
So you don't think they've really accomplished everything they wanted to accomplish?
I don't think they... What did they accomplish? Well, I think they did accomplish some stuff.
They did some damage to the Syrian opposition. They propped up like Assad. Assad is in a better position than he was six months ago.
Yes.
That was always their goal. I mean, you know...
I think they did accomplish that goal of propping up Assad. I mean, I think they did that.
Yeah, I mean, because... You know, it was never really about ISIS or anything like that.
No.
Remember, whenever the Russians said we're fighting the terrorists, to them, the definition of terrorist was anybody fighting Assad.
Assad, exactly right. Yep.
And so they prioritized those by how much of a danger they were to Assad.
Right. So they did that. I mean, I guess, yeah. So
I don't think. Nothing substantially changes in Syria, though. It's still a mess. Assad is a little stronger than he was 6 months ago.
Right now, so I don't know.
How's that been working out?
It's been holding up.
I'm amazed.
I am too.
Yeah, so.
Look, but in a lot of these conflicts, it gets to a point where people just get tired.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's been going on for years now.
It's been years. I mean, at some point, you're like, oh, God, you know, Jesus, could we stop? I mean, we're not getting anywhere, man. So I think that maybe they'd reach that point. You know? I mean, it's been such a long time. I mean, I think I would have been like, I give up too. After this much. I mean, they were bombing the bejesus out of each other and not gaining anything. Right? I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, there's been no substantial movement
one way or another.
I mean, except, like I said, Assad's maybe a little stronger than he was 6 months ago. But, you know, for the most part. And I mean, that's why we have these huge waves of refugees, is because, you know, the huge portion of the population is just like, I can't deal with this. I don't want to be fighting it. I don't want to be involved in it. I just want out. I want to be somewhere safe.
Right. So I think that overall, in terms of the general population, having this is certainly beneficial. At this point, I mean, certainly bombing the shit out of everybody wasn't getting anybody anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Okay. SeaWorld.
No more whales.
They said no more breeding programs. Are they
that these are going to be the last ones that are in captivity. Now, the argument is, and this is the discussion, it depends on what the deal is. They believe, and I happen to think that they're probably right, that the whales that they've got right now, since they have been born and raised in captivity,
wouldn't survive
in the wild. Yeah. So they're like,
they did the Free Willy thing. Didn't Willy die, like, a couple years later? They tracked him, and...
I believe so.
You know. But, you know, he had some time. I don't know. That's a really hard question, and part of
thank
it...
Thank you.
Alex just stole my phone.
That's nice.
It's a hard question, but you'd think the compromise might be... Get them a much larger place where they're still taken care of somewhat. They're not completely wild, but they're not like in.
Right. Some people are proposing that. Yeah.
Part of the there were many, many problems with how SeaWorld was treating them, but one of them was they had a really tiny space to live in compared to what. Yeah, I mean, obviously these animals traverse hundreds and hundreds of miles in the open ocean in their natural lives. But even just compared to the size of the damn whale, you know, it's like living in a very small apartment for.
Yeah. Did you ever see their show?
I did not. I mean, I've seen pictures of it, but I've never seen one in person. No, I've never been to a SeaWorld.
Okay. I mean, I know you have. Show, but a couple of occasions.
You talked about going there last year, I think.
No, it wasn't that. Jeez, it was like 6 years ago or so.
No, you had Manu.
No, I didn't take. Oh, I took him to a different show. It wasn't okay. I took him to a show that's here in Miami.
Oh, okay. It wasn't SeaWorld, but it was.
It was not SeaWorld. No, it wasn't a SeaWorld show.
Okay. But it was the same thing. It was like killer whales.
Same thing. Yeah. They're not the only people that have them in captivity, so.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I think the attention was focused on SeaWorld because they're a big name, and everybody knows the name, but and some of the abuses were well documented there, but a lot of the lesser known places are probably actually worse.
Oh, I gotta say, I'm sure they are far worse. Yeah.
So. Okay, so it once they get rid of the. Is that it for SeaWorld, or do they have other stuff that, like,
oh, no, their parks have a bazillion other
attractions. I mean, I know they have other things, no, I mean, but that's, like, always been a big
park,
draw.
When you go to the park, like, 95% of the stuff you do there has nothing to do with the damn Orca show. They could be they could be perfectly fine without this show.
Okay.
Okay.
Time to take another break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about Obama's Supreme Court choice and everything surrounding that. We'll be back after this.
Do you want to understand what is really going on with the presidential election cycle? Then go to electiongraphs.com right away. There you'll find charts and graphs covering the nomination processes in both parties and the general election race for Electoral College votes. For the delegate races, we track not just delegate totals, but also the ever-important analysis of how each candidate has to do with the remaining delegates in order to actually win. For the Electoral College, we track state-by-state poll averages to categorize which states are actually in play and which are not, in order to show you the range of likely electoral results and how that changes over time. Sure, you can get some of this stuff elsewhere, but not in exactly the same way, and not from me. Sam, your prime curmudgeon. I think my election trackers are better than the rest, so come look at mine. electiongraphs.com.
The show that you saw that I took her is at the Miami Seaquarian. The name of the orca is Lolita. Okay, all right. Apparently very old. She got caught in the wild in August of 1970.
Hmm. Okay.
So, there you go.
And we're back. And it's time to talk about the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court. Who's the guy again?
Merrick Garland.
Okay.
And a number of people have commented, like, could you get a whiter name? But anyway, the whole thing here is, when we first talked about this opening on this show, we talked about how Obama had several possibilities of how to approach this nomination, especially given the Republican stated position of not even giving him a hearing. And one of those that I think both Yvonne and I thought was the best strategy for Obama was to pick a certifiable moderate. Right. And Obama not only picked a certifiable moderate, he picked one who is relatively older.
Right.
So that, you know, that which limits his tenure on the court somewhat.
Correct.
Whereas the alternative was to pick, like, you know, a rabid liberal in his 40s, you know, who would potentially be on the court for 30, 40 years. But this is, a moderate who Republicans have praised multiple times in the past, who's 63. So, you know, rather than 30 or 40 years, they probably have, you know, 10, 20, maybe 30 years. Still a long time, you know, given the span of these things.
Yeah.
But so this is basically the approach that when we were talking about before, this is putting somebody in front of the Congress that says, really? You're not even going to talk to this guy?
Right.
You know, this isn't some, like, you know, super hippie liberal who's known for being an activist, blah, 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 blah. This is someone who, this isn't somebody who's, you know, ethnic or a woman or trying to fill some sort of, you know, check all the liberal boxes of, you know, let's get somebody representing an ethnic, representing a group that hasn't been on the court before. It's none of these things. And, you know, so you can't pin any of that on Obama as, you know, that's what he's trying to do. Instead, you know, this is about as far to the center as you could possibly imagine a Democratic president nominating somebody. And with, you know, the everything on the resume that you would tick off for a Supreme Court justice, with a history of Republicans saying he's an example of a good person and, you know, that deserved to be on the lower courts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, this is just exactly a, you know, in fact, there was even a quote of Orrin Hatch a week ago saying, you know, someone good to nominate on the court would be someone like Merrick Garland, but Obama would never do that.
Nah.
You know, so I think this is about as perfect strategy as you can get in this scenario. And we've already seen the Republicans start to their wall starting to break on this. I'm not saying that the guy's getting a hearing tomorrow or they're going to approve him or anything, but a couple things we've seen already. The original stance was we're not going to hold hearings.
Not even hold hearings.
But not only that, they had said we won't even talk to the guy.
Right. We're not even going to talk to the man.
But what has happened since then is a bunch of Republican senators have said basically, well, okay, I'll talk to him. And even some of the people like on the committee who's doing this have already spoken to him on the phone and have said, okay, I'm not going to meet with him in my office and give him a photo op, but I'll talk to him on the phone. That's okay. And then we've got a few of them now talking about, well, okay, if Clinton wins the presidency in November, then maybe we could vote on this guy after the election in the lame duck term. Basically saying that if Hillary is nominated, at that point, we'd rather go ahead and say yes to this guy than wait to see whoever.
But come on, the president could withdraw. You could withdraw the nomination at that point. I mean, it's idiotic. You'd have. I mean, you're idiots. You guys have to either you do it now. At that point, it's like fuck you. At that point,
yeah, it's like at that point, it's like okay, see who Hillary's got up her sleeve.
Right.
But. Especially,
of course, somebody said today, "It's like why wouldn't Hillary nominate now Obama? Hillary, like let Hillary nominate Obama."
I know people have been talking about that for a while. Obama has repeatedly said he's not interested in.
I know, but I was like, I thought that would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious. You know, hell, Obama could nominate himself. Wait till November, withdraw this guy, nominate himself.
There you go.
But no, the thing is, it also completely undermines their argument. Their basic argument is we have to wait. The next president should decide. It's too close to the end of the term. We need to have an election. The next president will decide, and it's they should nominate. But now it's like the next president should decide unless it's Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Which is like, well, okay, we all knew that's what you really meant. But come on. It's like it completely undermines your argument on why not to do this now. And it just shows how silly their approach. I mean, look, it's one thing to say have the hearings and then say no.
Right.
It's another thing to say we're not even going to consider them. And this is exactly the scenario that makes that look silly. Of course, the problem with this guy is also this is exactly the kind of nominee that could get approved even by a Republican Senate.
Right.
Like if the Republican senators were allowed to just vote on this guy straight up or down, he might get 51, 52 votes, you know, because there are still a few Republican senators who would say, you know, the president has, you know, has picked this guy. He's qualified. We're not going to say no. Simply because Obama nominated him, and you're seeing those cracks already start to form. The problem is, of course, you know, in order to actually have this move forward in any way, you don't just need a few senators here and there agreeing to talk to the guy. You need to have, like, the committee chairs agree to have hearings and pass it to the full Senate, and yeah, you need course. To have a...
When are these idiots going to figure out that, this you know, this them? May be the best deal they've got, that they can get, like, right now? I mean,
well, like
it
I said,
just is.
Like I said before, if they think they can hold on to the Senate, they potentially have the option of blocking the Supreme Court for the next 9 years.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like such a winning strategy, really, for this party. I mean, I don't know.
Of course, the other thing that people have put up is, at this point, if Trump wins the nomination, who the hell is Trump going to nominate? Are they going to like him or her?
That's my point.
Maybe Trump will nominate his sister.
This is the best deal they've got running right now.
Of course, I retweeted somebody that said, you know, if Obama was really, really a master troll here, he would have nominated Trump's sister. And Trump's sister, by the way, is somewhat liberal.
Yes.
And is on an appeals court.
Yes.
So that would have been like, here you go.
She has a very good reputation for being a good justice, by the way.
I haven't looked into her.
I did. I looked it up. And I mean, what I read from what I found was that, yeah, I mean, she has a very good reputation as a judge and is, as you mentioned, liberal. Yes.
That would have been really funny.
Yes.
But no, Obama didn't go that direction.
I did not get my chance to do the nomination, I know. But, you know, once I win the election, then it's all set after I win the Republican convention, after the brokered convention.
Anyway, I think Obama played this just about as perfectly as he could. If he had gone for a straight up liberal, then he would have given the Republicans exactly what they wanted, and they could have spent the next few months saying, look, this is exactly what we're talking about. This is exactly why we have to.
Now they're all like, shit, now what?
And like, this was kind of an obvious move. Now, of course, liberals are mad at Obama too, because the guy's too moderate.
But you know, it's like, I mean, I wanted a moderate. I mean, it's what I like. I mean, I want people who are going to weigh stuff and make a decision, not be a knee jerk one thing or another.
Yeah. Anyway, I think he played it perfectly. That doesn't mean this guy's ever going to be a Supreme Court justice. I put his odds fairly low, actually. But, you know, hey, who knows? The Republicans might break down sometime over the next 10 months. But
I don't know. What happens if the polls really get, like, really shitty, right? Okay, I guess, you know, it's looking like it's going to be a Clinton landslide. I mean, are they going to buckle then?
Well, the other thing that somebody else noted, and I retweeted this one as well, but I forget who it was from, is, you know, for Trump to really do this strategy, he'd say, this is my nominee this month. For every month you don't have hearings, I withdraw the nomination and nominate somebody more liberal.
That'd be interesting.
You know, of course, that would be sort of mean to the people who are being nominated, but...
Oh, but I will say that it Mr. Garland, Judge Garland.
Yes.
I think knew what he was getting into.
Yeah, obviously, you know, he knew the situation. He knew that, you know, chances are, you know, he's going to be in a long, this is going to go on for a while, and there's a good chance he'll never actually make it onto the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know, but this is, he's already all, by the way, withdrawing from various cases that he's involved in right now. So he's effectively going to be on like some kind of extended leave or something as long as this is going on.
Right.
I presume he still gets paid, though. This is not necessarily going to be a fun time for him as much as, you know, he went through and talked about how big an honor it was and he broke down and cried a little bit and all of this kind of stuff, which, by the way, also feeds. And normally when somebody breaks down and cries like that, you're like, oh, my God, really? But this time it's like, OK, Republicans, you're going to beat up on this guy.
Right.
So anyway. Anything else to say about SCOTUS?
Nope.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We will come back. We will talk about election 2016. Back after this.
This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. and I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you will definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show.
What, Alex?
I'm done with your phone!
What's the emergency this time?
The phone's gone!
Don't put the cheese in my microphone.
In... Do you mean on?
Yeah.
Look, let me put it in there.
Mean the phone is gone? What? Gone where? What did you do with the phone?
Technical difficulties. Technical difficulties. Technical difficulties.
Microphone.
No, but you just stopped the recording and you're messing stuff up by. Okay, no, yes, cheese is bad for the microphone. Don't put cheese in the microphone.
Why?
It's bad for the microphone!
It'll mess it up.
Why?
Because it does.
Why would it?
You're on headphones.
Does.
He can't hear you.
I know. Maybe he can a little bit.
What? What did what? You say?
Here. Listen to Yvonne in your ear. Talk to Yvonne.
Jesus! Don't put cheese in the microphone.
That doesn't mean do it. Stop. Stop.
No!
Okay. What do you need from me? I'm on a it's a break right now. I can give you a couple minutes. What do you need? And then I'll get back to my show.
Find your phone.
Find my phone. What did you do with my phone? You took it from me. Like
I lost it, and all I was doing was calling mommy.
Okay.
I'm playing Crossy Road.
Okay, I will find your phone.
No, your phone!
You're right. I will find my phone back in just a second. Okay, come on. Let's go find it.
Wait. I know it's up here somewhere.
No, it's up here somewhere. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to make it beep.
Tick-tock, 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 time passes. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Okay, I'm back.
All right. Did somebody else get there? Or did it hurt? I thought I heard another voice.
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
I found the phone, which
I heard it beeping.
He'd hidden it under something.
Okay.
I used Find Your iPhone.
I could hear the beeping.
And, yeah. So, fun stuff. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Election 2016.
Yes. Are we recording?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we are recording. Otherwise, I don't know.
Just make sure.
Well, because every once in a while... It has been known to happen where I've talked to you and done a whole segment and then been like, oh, I forgot to hit the record button.
Right. And I'm kind of tired for me to say anything else again. So, you know, here's something. All right. So let's talk about the numbers first. Are we going to talk numbers first? Let's go through the numbers.
Yeah. So, damn my stupid computer. Okay. Here we go. Actually, it's not the computer I'm swearing at right now. It's the mouse. But. Okay, so here's the bottom line. I haven't yet updated these numbers for today. There were a few delegates that were still moving around, so I could be off by a little bit, but probably not by a huge amount. As of the post I made, I guess almost about 24 hours ago, a little over 24 hours ago, as we're recording this on March 17th, Republicans still in the gray zone. Oh, Democrats, whatever. Clinton's winning. Okay. From the polls, I had estimated beforehand Trump would get about 226 delegates. As of the estimate from a day ago, he was getting about 229. So pretty on with what the polls were saying would happen, to be honest. and where we ended up is that Trump excuse me.
Nice.
Wasn't that nice? I like to share. I like to share with everybody.
So you can't say the word or name Trump now without going into an all-out gag?
Yeah, something like that. So anyway, where we ended up was Trump having about 600 and I have 693. My main source has actually updated to 696. So, but still pretty damn close to that, which is about, you know, just about 48% of the delegates so far. So he's not quite at 50%, but he's damn close. And he's and given the number of delegates we've had so far and how many are left, that means he needs about 53% of what's left, plus or minus a little bit for the minor delegate adjustments that I was saying still need to happen. But so where this puts us is that, yes, right now we are still in the contested convention zone, but Trump only has to do a little bit better in order to bring this back down to a straight-up Trump win.
Now, the polls don't show him percentage-wise doing so much better, so I am guessing, I mean, are the rules
in the
remaining states favorable to him getting...
Yes, they are, and here is why... I'm still giving it an 80% shot that he wins outright. Yes, yes, Alex.
Do you know where Red Mio is?
No, I have no idea where Red Mio is.
Did you move his stool from where it was?
No.
Did you move his
stool? Oh, if there was a Mio on the stool, I put it on the dining room table. Okay, anyway, yes, the rules are more favorable. Now that we're past the deadline for... now that we're past the 15th, there are winner-take-all states. But they're not, you know, it's not like all of them are winner-take-all. However, right. Even the ones that aren't winner-take-all, as we've talked about before, have rules that tend to favor the winner. And they have thresholds to get any delegates. They also have thresholds. Like, for instance, Utah is coming up. If anybody gets over 50%, they get all the delegates.
Right.
If you get under 50%, it is split proportionally over anybody who got more than 15%. So that still potentially favors, you know, whoever's number one. There are a number of states that basically the rules slightly favor whoever's in the lead, because the whole structure of this was essentially designed towards trying to make it easy for the frontline runner to wrap it up.
Yep.
And so I was still giving Trump an 80% chance of winning it outright. However, a number of people who've done, you know, the furthest I've gone out simulating this is like the next election. And polling is so sparse at this point that that's really hard to do. Like, I was looking at, there was one new poll that came out in Arizona today. When I did my post, there were none. There still haven't been any new polls in Utah that I've seen. There were polls in February, but my God, February is so long ago at this time, you know? You know, what good does a poll do you if it shows like Bush or Rubio getting a significant percentage?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know, so who the hell knows? Now, there probably will be more polls before Utah and Arizona vote. But things generally favor who's the leader. So as long as Trump can maintain his lead, which he's got, he's going to come away with a bunch of delegates. But... you know, some of the people who have simulated it all the way out to the end using the demographics of various states to predict what they'll do, blah, 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 all kinds of dark magic. They show this potentially going all the way through to the very last contests in June. I think it's June 7th or something like that, the last contests. Before we really know, are we in a contested convention? Or does Trump win outright? Because we're right on the edge, according to those simulations. And also, what's being brought up more and more is that we may actually get into a situation where there are a small number and the number is going to get larger before we are done, of officially uncommitted delegates.
Right.
So most states this time around have had to bind their results to the results of primaries or caucuses. However, the exception that the RNC allowed to that rule is if delegates are actually directly elected in some manner. So instead of being you electing, I want a Rubio delegate, you actually vote for, I want Yvonne Beau as a delegate.
Right.
No matter who he supports. Then if those candidates do not declare a preference at before the voting, if they do declare a preference, they're bound to it. But if they don't declare a preference before the voting, then they become an uncommitted, unbound delegate, which means they're essentially the same as superdelegates on the Democratic side. They can do whatever the hell they want. And unlike the Democratic side, I have not found a source yet that is tracking who these actual individuals are and what their preferences are. And there is a chance that we will end up at the end of all of the contests. We will get to, and it is in fact June 7th, when on the Republican side, California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota go on Tuesday, June 7th. We could get past there and still have it so that what will determine if Trump wins outright or if we go into a contested convention are uncommitted delegates. Because we will have, we've got 22 uncommitted delegates already, but we're going to have more because American Samoa, their 9 delegates are probably going to be uncommitted. I believe Colorado's 37 delegates are uncommitted. A huge chunk of delegates from Pennsylvania, not all of them, but a huge chunk of the delegates from Pennsylvania are going to be uncommitted. And so we're going to have a lot of these. And it's close enough to that boundary that they might actually make the difference. And also...
And then we're going to have riots.
Well, and apparently... Well, we'll get to the riots in a second. But apparently, also, we've had... With Rubio dropping out, we've had the first candidate drop out that actually has a significant number of delegates. So it hasn't really come up before. But the rules on what happens to delegates of candidates who drop out differs state by state. In some cases, they remain bound unless the candidate actually dies. In some cases, even the candidate becoming quote-unquote inactive releases them. So, for instance, Rubio won 23 delegates in Puerto Rico. Apparently, the rules in Puerto Rico are those 23 are now unbound. This is Sam from the future here. Since recording this, I've seen more stuff on Puerto Rico. I had seen a couple people saying they're immediately unbound. They're already out there. They're, you know, ready to be wooed to go to whoever. But then I've seen someone else say that actually Puerto Rico is still bound on the first ballot and is only freed on the second ballot, which makes them the same as a lot of other folks. So far, the only state where I've officially redistributed Rubio delegates is Alaska, because the Alaska Republican Party officially came out of state with a statement that said, according to their rules, the Rubio delegates are redistributed between the other candidates that are still running. And so the 5 delegates that Rubio won in Alaska, I believe 3 of them went to Trump and 2 of them went to Cruz. But everybody else, as I said, the rules are different state by state. Sometimes it's not quite 100% clear, given how the rules are written. So we'll see. Some number of Rubio's delegates may become uncommitted even on the first ballot. It's unclear about Puerto Rico, though, whether or not that's true, because I've seen conflicting things, and I haven't done enough personal research to have my own opinion on that. For my tables on electiongraphs.com, I go with whatever the Green Papers says, thegreenpapers.com, which is a great source for all kinds of details on this information. Anyway, that's more than you care about right now. Back to the show.
Okay.
So all of the campaigns that are still in are actually now courting those 23 delegates. People.
Right.
Now, apparently those 23 delegates have decided that they will agree and vote all together for somebody.
Really?
Apparently. Apparently, that's what they're saying, but who knows? This could all change. But anyway, so those people are now being courted, and so just like superdelegates on the Democratic side, you might see all kinds of drama with these few dozen uncommitted delegates at the end of this process, which might be very interesting. But if, on the other hand, and again, part of why I give Trump the 80% is, let's say Trump wins Arizona, which it looks like he's going to do. I have no idea what's going on in Utah. Apparently, a lot of people think Cruz is favored in Utah, but I don't know what they're basing it on, since I haven't seen any recent polls. But let's say the next few of these states, Trump actually does pretty well. The case for Cruz and Kasich, it becomes harder for them to maintain momentum.
So what if the opposite happens?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if the opposite happens, then we've got a real Stop Trump movement that's working, and the Stop Trump movement may gain ground. It's hard to say, but the question is, can Trump and Kasich keep getting significant numbers of delegates even after they can't win outright? I mean, Kasich, it's already too late for Kasich. He mathematically, he could get every delegate from here on out, and he would not have a majority. Cruz still could. If he got, like, you know, insanely high percentages, like on the order of 80% of the remaining delegates, but come on, that's not going to happen. So do they keep getting that support? And on the one hand, in a traditional race, the answer would be no. They'd be gone. They'd be out. Trump would win. But in this race, is the anti-Trump movement strong enough to keep both of these two guys going? Of course, even then, there's some strategy here. Like, apparently, Kasich is actually going and trying to... he's making an effort campaigning in Utah. And people are saying, but that was Cruz's state to win, and so he's only helping Trump by doing that. So there are all kinds of weird dynamics at play. And the other thing I want to say, if we do get to either... Yeah, so I don't know. It is right on the edge. I'm still giving the odds to Trump winning outright, but if that relies on him winning the next few contests and Cruz and Kasich getting weaker as we go, otherwise we're going to stay right on the edge between these two things all the way to the end. So, one person's simulation of it showed us getting to the end of June with Trump 10 delegates short. You know, and so... And that he could make up with the uncommitted delegates. And one of the other things I was reading about shenanigans, and this applies to uncommitted delegates now, and if we get to a contested convention, it applies there too, which is apparently, you know, a big part of this process is deal making, of course. But apparently there are no anti-corruption rules that actually apply to delegates in a presidential convention. Which means...
You can pay them? You
give
money?
Yes, it's apparently it would even be legal for Trump to just say, here, delegate, I'll give you $100,000 if you vote for me.
Well, then why the hell the super PACs, instead of just fucking like spending on advertising, just don't start fucking like just paying off the delegates?
Well, because the ones that are bound in the first round.
Right.
But once we get past that.
The super, man, Jesus, we got to get a gig as a delegate.
I think it's a little late for that.
Damn.
Although we have a friend from college, Marcus, who's running in Maryland as a Cruz delegate.
I'll auction him off at the highest bidder.
So yes, you could have all kinds of shenanigans where if we get to a brokered convention, you could have people offering delegates cabinet posts. You could have people offering delegates money, flat out.
Money, money, baby, money.
You could have them offering all kinds of jobs. Like, some delegates, you know, okay, if somebody's already a senator or something, you need to offer them a cabinet post. But if somebody's just, like, you know, random guy who won a delegate position through a local state process or whatever, you know, you offer them a nice, cushy job
somewhere. Hey, Trump, that super PAC offered me $100,000. How much are you willing to pay?
Exactly. There are all kinds of opportunities for chaos here. And you know, not to mention all the stuff we've talked about before about the fact that a lot of Trump delegates might actually not be for Trump, They're just bound to him. And so what happens once they're released? Do you do rules changes where you unbind everybody up front? There are all kinds of crazy things that could happen if we get that
spot. I think the key thing, like, about where we are right now, Trump is definitely in the lead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There is no question about that. But we have very little visibility of what the hell the polling says about the next states. Okay. We got Rubio that just left. But we also have the reality that Trump, you know, in every state that he's won, he is in none. He has eclipsed 50%, as far as I can tell.
No, they're well,
votes,
not delegates. Yeah, okay,
not delegates, votes. Okay, so the question is, what the heck happens now that we've got a 3-person race? Okay, and what effect does it have? The fact that, I mean, to this point, just continuously just getting hammered by just anti messages against him, not just by the Republicans, but the Democrats are definitely piling into it now as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, he seems like he's, on the one hand, he seemed like he's been, he showed a few signs of weakness over the last couple weeks, but at the same time, when we actually got to the voting and everything else, he did fine. He didn't do
what I'm saying is he
didn't underperform his polls.
He didn't underperform his polls. You're totally
about
right.
What you would expect given the polling. You don't see any signs of like a Trump collapse here or anything like that. He's still doing stronger than everybody else. And, you know, because of the way things are designed here, you don't necessarily need to get 50% plus of the vote to get 50% plus of the delegates. And so, you know, and he only needs like 53% of the delegates, to make this happen. Now, again, that includes the uncommitted. He would have to get 53% of the uncommitted as well. If you take the uncommitted out and try to arrange a victory without using any of the delegates who will end up officially uncommitted, that percentage is higher. He needs like 57% or something like that, I've read in places. My analysis hasn't broken out those uncommitted separately, because frankly, I think just like going after superdelegates, he'll be able to get plenty of those uncommitted delegates. But, you know, this percentage is still in reach, but it's right on the edge of being
right. He's right on the edge. I mean, he's in the driver's seat. Definitely. There's no doubt about that right now.
Now we get to the riots part where he made some comments basically like, look, if I have the most delegates coming in, but I don't have a majority and I'm just a little bit short, if they try to take this away from me, there are going to be riots.
Is he already buying people brown shirts?
I've heard mixed reports on that. I don't know whether to trust them or not. But I don't think he has officially bought people brown shirts. There was one thing going around with people with Trump armbands, but it was revealed to be hoaxers, not real. There's been some talk of him, of Trump supporters organizing private security at some of the events to go after protesters, but I don't.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the brown shirts are being organized. Okay, great.
I don't know how much trust to put in those reports because there is misinformation coming out here too.
No, there totally is. I mean, I know, because it's like, you know, right now it's very difficult to sift to what the hell is real or not about that. But But look, his statements are his statements. I mean, he's the guy that goes out there and like basically just threaten rioting if he doesn't get his way.
No. He didn't encourage rioting. He just said there would be.
Oh, riots. Yeah, right. Just like he didn't encourage anybody to punch anybody or like throw people out, or I'd like that guy punched, or, you know, in my time, you know, in older days, people like that would be sent out on a stretcher, yada, 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 yada. Yeah, no, that's not encouraging any violence. No. No, not at all.
And this is why, you know, I've had some people tell me that they think Cruz would be much worse than Trump. And look, I disagree with almost everything that comes out of Cruz's mouth, but I think Trump is more dangerous.
I totally agree that Trump is more dangerous. Trump is more dangerous because, you know, people have short memories, okay, or stupid, and don't understand that, you know, if you look at how, I mean, they keep saying that these Hitler comparisons are not adequate, and I
I completely beg to differ, because this is exactly how Hitler got power in Germany, okay? Hitler went and was a person that had this kind of percentage of the support, okay? 30-ish, you know, percent somewhere, whatever. And I'm talking just the Republican Party right now. I'm not talking the national election because we're not there yet. Mm. And then, you know, when it came pushed, you know, and he had this group of scapegoats, okay? He had organized violent, you know, he had incited violence against these groups, okay? And then when it got to a point where they were going to elect a chancellor, where he only had 30% of it, but basically people were scared shitless because of his violent streak, that they, even though he did not have a majority support, they basically made him chancellor because they were scared of his violence. And this is the kind of thuggery that this asshole is using to take control of the Republican Party. And, you know, sorry, but it's the exact same method.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, you know, as we go through this, and you still have, you know.
I'm sorry, Sam. When have you ever
Look, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just moving on.
Say that if I don't get enough fucking... You know, if I am close and they don't just give it to me, there's going to be rioting out there.
No, I know. And it definitely is something that, you know, like you said, I mean, it is an incitement because his supporters are going to take that as a call to action.
Yes.
And maybe not all of them, but enough.
Enough.
And, you know, will you actually see violence? Will you not? I don't know. But it scares me. You know, and there are the thing is, there are enough shenanigans here, too. On the one hand, I kind of actually like kind of almost agree with him that if he's close but not quite there. Yeah. OK, they don't have to just give it to him, but he's got to have the advantage coming in there. If they try to do all kinds of crazy shenanigans.
The delegate allocation rules are mathematical bullshit. You know this. They went. They fucking exaggerated it.
So
the reality is that if you go whatever bullshit he's talking about, like right now, and like they said, they can change the fucking rules. Look, I mean, if he's close, even with an exaggerated percentage. I'm the RNC. If it were me, I'd say, listen, jerk off. Let me put it to you this way. You
had the rules slanted
for you to win,
and
you still couldn't do it, okay? If he doesn't get them. Sorry, okay? Even with the rules slanted in your favor, you still couldn't do it. No. I mean, I'm like, you know.
It's working.
I can throw in the numbers.
Alex is asking me about putting more of his videos online. There's one uploading right now.
Oh. It's almost done.
Yeah, this is still the first one, though, because it failed this morning. So sorry about that. But it's going.
So anyway, I mean, you can very clearly tell him, hey, you know what?
Look, I agree.
60% of the voters in the Republican Party voted against you.
I'm
like, you know, take your threats and shove them up your ass.
My son is knocking stuff off at all the shelves.
I'll
pick them up later. Anyway, I'm one that, like, when you were talking to these Sanders guys and stuff complaining about superdelegates. Dude, I know you're upset. Stop knocking stuff over. I'm one who tells the Sanders guys, like, get over the superdelegates. Those are the rules you had. And the same thing is true on the Republican side. Look, if you don't get a majority, those are the rules you have.
You had.
But here's the thing. If they do that, if they come in, just like, frankly, if Sanders did have a majority of the regular delegates and superdelegates took away from him, they would have a legitimate beef.
But he does.
You know?
Yes. Okay, bye, Alex. After he's, like, tossed things all over my office.
I don't think anybody will tell the difference. Anyway.
Anyway, it was the floor was somewhat clear before he dumped things. Anyway, can you imagine... I'm not even just talking riots, but, like, if... if Trump came in like 10 delegates short or 20 delegates short or whatever, and threw stuff at the convention, they end up nominating Romney or somebody, can you imagine how upset all of the Trump people will be nationwide? I mean, they're...
Well, yeah, I do imagine, especially because you've had a rabble-rousing lunatic that's taken everybody who's angry in this fucking country and made him be his, you know, instrument of fucking destruction. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
I mean,
Trump is actually probably right. Even if he hadn't said a damn thing, if that kind of scenario played out, there probably would be riots.
Yeah, but, you know, look, it's on that streak, I say it's a leadership thing, right?
Yes. What you would want Trump to say in that case, like, let's say he gets to the convention, he's a little bit short and things happen and somebody else is nominated, because what you would want a leader to say is now, everybody, I know you're upset, but these were the rules. This is how it worked out. It didn't go our way this time. But, you know, we're going to support the nominee, whatever, be gracious about it. Trump's not going to be gracious.
No.
Trump.
Not at all.
If that kind of thing starts happening, he's going to take his delegates and walk out of the fucking convention and, like, you know, do something somewhere else.
Of course, he walks out to the delegates with his convention. I mean, what is he going to do? Take him and, what, stuff him in a dungeon together with Christie and the Carson, I guess?
I don't know, but, you know, this has the potential of being a complete and total mess. Even more than it is already.
Yeah.
Now
here's the other part. I was
and of course we're all salivating for the contested convention. You know, Trump still has a really good shot of just flat out wrapping this up.
Yep.
And if he has a majority of delegates outright, there are still ways that the establishment could try to steal it from him. But those would just, like, that would just rip everything completely to shreds.
Okay, so speaking of other things, for example, outside of that, you know, about Mr. Trump, I mean, you know, the Christie humiliation tour continues. Okay,
what did he do now?
I think it was last week when he was talking interview? About... One of the things that he said was something about how governors and people that are elected, they spend so much time on a campaign trail and they don't do their job. And so then he called out Christie's name. Hey, you here. You're here, right? Yep. So you're not doing your job. Here you go. Look, great example. Sorry to pick on you, Chris. Anyway, just treated him like shit. And just, you know, used him for that and just slammed him, you know, wiped the floor with him. I mean,
Speaking of the people who he endorsed, the other is Carson.
Right.
Who, after Carson endorsed him, he made a number of interesting statements. One, and I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't, was one that, like, I think he'll do a good job, but even if he doesn't, it's only like 4 years. But the other
one. Wow, what a ringing endorsement.
But the other that's even more interesting is Carson basically flat out said that he didn't really want to endorse Trump, but Trump offered him a position in the administration.
Oh, come on!
Now,
did you see that? I did read that. Right.
Yes.
And somehow tried to, like,
he tried to walk it back a little bit. I don't know. But look, there are a couple things there. One, first of all, Trump probably didn't actually. It probably really was something like, you know, oh, yes, I'll consult you on education matters or something. Not like you're going to be Secretary of Education. But the way that Carson said it implied, went right up to the edge of saying there was a quid pro quo, where at which, if there was, that actually would be illegal.
It is.
It is illegal for you to apparently, and I, you know, I saw it on the internet. You know how accurate that is. But apparently it is illegal to offer a cabinet position in exchange for endorsements or other things like that.
Ah, damn.
Unlike, of course, offering cabinet positions in exchange for a delegate vote, which is apparently perfectly legal. Again, something I read on the internet, so take a.
So it's gotta be. It's gotta be totally right.
It's gotta be, you know, because that's what the internet is. It's the. It's all true.
It's all accurate.
They wouldn't be allowed to put it online if it wasn't true.
That's right. You know, because you've got those special people that check everything to makes it past the gate.
That's right. Exactly.
Make sure anything in the gate is real. Everything else is fake.
Exactly.
Right. I also heard that even in his speech, I mean, you know, like even Trump went like kind of like trashed him. Like, and
arson.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and I'm like, I mean, come on. I mean, it's like, I mean, are you, I mean, I see these people and I'm like, are you listening to yourselves? Who the fuck you're endorsed? You came up here, you actually endorse this guy, and then he just fucking like just treats you like shit in front of everybody. And you're still endorsing this asshole?
Well, as someone pointed out about Carson, when Carson was like, you know, and this is a wonderful man I respect, whatever the hell he said. I don't know exactly what he said. But someone's like, you know, you're talking about the man who, like, 1 month ago said you were like a child molester.
Yes! Oh, he really didn't mean that. It's just in the election. I'm like, well,
As Carson himself said, there are two Donald Trumps.
There are two Donald Trumps. That's right. He did say that there were two Donald Trumps. Or everybody's like, what? Really?
Well, and of course there are. But, you know.
The problem is that apparently both are psychotic and insane.
Are we done?
Yeah. Oh, and Hillary's going to win.
Yes, Hillary's going to win.
At least the nomination.
I got into yet another argument on Facebook with some Sanders person who was talking about how we shouldn't count superdelegates. And I'm like,
look, dude, I mean, get over it. Go take some Xanax or something or whatever. take a drink, whatever. You know, go fucking, you know.
I mean, look, yes. As I pointed out in my last post about the Democrats, if right now every Clinton superdelegate out there in mass shifted to Sanders tomorrow, Sanders would actually still be in the lead.
If
every superdelegate who said they were for Clinton tomorrow came out and said, oh man, I changed my mind, I'm for Sanders, it would still be enough to flip the result and Sanders would be ahead.
That's what every superdelegate.
Every superdelegate who has said they support Clinton.
Right.
If they all change their mind, Sanders would actually be ahead right now.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm not holding my breath on that one.
No. What I will say is this. The other part that I saw is I was just one final thought on this whole thing before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
So today somebody played a video of times that apparently Obama had like basically skewered Trump.
Yes.
And I realized
not even counting the one he did it to Trump's face at that dinner.
Well,
a couple
that's
years
the
ago.
One that I'm actually talking more specifically about right now. Now I realize why Trump hates him so much. Well, let's be clear.
Well, people have said that was the moment that Trump decided to run for president.
I'm going to guess, you know, because look, I think about him personally. Here's the one thing that I think plays into the Democrats' advantage. He's proven to be thin-skinned. Okay. Yes. All right. And you can get under his skin. Okay. I've seen about certain things pretty damn easily. And I've seen like Obama play the audience like recently and talk about him. I think Obama's got the style. Specifically because, look, Obama's going to be hard on the campaign trail for Hillary. I think that he is going to ensure
Look,
that Hillary
the reality here is you're going to have Obama on the campaign trail. You're going to have Biden on the campaign
trail.
This is not also like really good.
Selection
you are probably
hiding in a fucking closet. Even in 2000, Clinton was hiding in a fucking closet because Gore didn't want him out there because of
You're going to have Bill Clinton. Scandal. You're going to have Obama. You're going to have Biden. You will probably actually have Sanders. Despite all the hard feelings that are out right now, you'll have Sanders too.
I believe it.
And all of these people are high-powered people that have a lot, you know, of people behind them, charisma, and you know, Clinton isn't all that great a campaigner herself.
But Obama sure as hell is.
Obama is. Clinton, Bill and Clinton I've is.
Obama,
Biden's like, not no slouch. You know,
I've seen Obama. The thing that I was seeing is that Obama can fucking just
annihilate Trump.
Annihilate Trump. With class.
Well, and this is the thing that, like, I don't know how good Clinton will be at this, but yes, Obama absolutely knows how to go after Trump in a way that just belittles and mocks him.
Oh my God, he was going through on one that I just saw recently. It was about after, like, he had the whole display of steaks and the wine and stuff. I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
You did see this?
Yes.
This one was just hilarious because if any of you haven't seen this, you got to look. There's a video going around about Obama having a speech. I think in Southwest. I think it was around there. Not sure. In which he's going on and talking about the speech that Trump made with showing the magazines and steaks, and he's just going, "What the hell is this? What is he in the Home Shopping commercial?"
And he's like, "Has anybody tried those wines? That's got to be good, right?"
I mean, come on, people. I mean, how good could that wine be? And it was just he just completely eviscerated him. I mean, and
this really is the thing that, by the way, if Clinton was to try that directly, she's got a shot of it backfiring against her.
Right, but Obama,
but somebody like Obama can do it with no repercussions.
None whatsoever. Not one thing. And, oh, by the way, Jesus, I keep seeing he's good at it.
Yeah.
Okay?
He is. And of course, you know, the flip side of that is, of course, there are attacks that Trump can do against the Clintons that are going to be hard for them.
Yeah, but the thing is that he doesn't have the same attacks against Obama. That's the thing where
he can go back to talking about Kenya.
Yep. And I think that Obama can keep making fun of him about that as well, because I've seen him do a good one about that. OK. All right. As well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Let's just say that. So anyway,
just watch. After all this, we'll end up with Kasich as the candidate.
Kasich Mentum?
Well, yeah, he's going to get enough delegates to force a brokered convention, and then he's going to be like, come on, I'm the only reasonable one here. You don't want Cruz. You don't want Trump. Look at me.
Well, somebody asked me about it, and it's like, you know, it's like, you know, Kasich truly amongst those is the only one that is not a lunatic.
Yes. And
which is not saying a lot.
I may still disagree with him on a variety of things, but yes, I look at him and I'm like, you're not insane.
You're not insane!
And you know, to me, it's really sad when you look at this is one of the major political parties in the most important country in the world. And this is what you have?
Right.
Really?
Yep.
You couldn't come up with better than this?
Right.
And yes, of these three, yes, Kasich is more sane than and Cruz, I mean, Cruz has his, he's no Trump, but he has his issues.
Oh yes, he does.
But oh God.
Anyway, we are
so done. Thanks everybody for listening to this point, and thanks for putting up with my son being a little frustrated here. My wife is home now. She texted me while Alex was in here throwing things off the shelf because he was mad at me because I hadn't posted enough videos to his YouTube channel yet, which, by the way, again, A-L-E-X-M-X. XELA.com. Go look at his videos. But he was mad at me about that. So he started like throwing things off my shelf and pulling things off onto the floor. And my wife was already home at this point, and she texted me and said, you know, I am home. I know he's bugging you right now, but, you know, I'm in the bathroom.
Ah, okay.
Like, thank you. But apparently he'd gone outside and he'd shown her a few things that he'd done with his grandma earlier. And then like he fell on the steps and he was upset and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, thank you for putting up with him coming and going throughout the show. You know, hey, it's part of doing an amateur show at home.
Yeah, I know.
But
I had my interruptions as well. So,
yeah. And so, you know, but hopefully you get to know us and personally in our families. And it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's cute sometimes. Not necessarily when he's throwing magazines all over the floor. He got into a box that was full of old Scientific Americans from the 80s.
From the 80s?
From the 80s. Old Scientific Americans from the 80s.
And Rebecca or anybody else didn't get to throw that shit out? That's a shame.
Anyway, so that's what he was tossing all over the floor. And
I'm going to fly Chris over to freaking like Seattle like right now to start throwing shit into garbage. I guess what are we going to do next trip up?
It's a valuable record of history or something.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, thanks for putting up with that. Thanks for listening. As usual, like us on Facebook. We're at Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. Comment there. We love your comments. And tell your friends to listen, too. We always love getting additional new people listening. And, you know, review us on iTunes, all that kind of stuff. Yes, I am finishing the podcast. Do you want to help say goodbye? Say goodbye.
Cha, cha, cha.
Cha, cha, cha.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
For real.